Hey, everybody. Ed here. We're going to get started in a couple of minutes. Hey, while you are joining us and we're waiting for other folks to come in, I'm just curious, do you listen to music while you write? And if so, what type of music works best for you? Let us know in the chat area. Just type in your answer there. Let's see who's in here today. Jennifer, welcome. Good to see you here. Linda, hey, welcome to the group. It's great to have you. Laura, Randy, welcome, guys. Terry, Tina, Francis, got a great group here. Renee, welcome. Glad that you've joined us. All right, so just bear with me. I'm going to get a couple of things started here on my end, and we'll get going here in a minute. Tina, all right. Tina says, I'm at work, so I'll be listening. I do not listen to music. It's too distracting for me. Yes. Yeah, I had the hardest time for that. I love listening to music, and we always have music in our house here in the background. But I had the hardest time finding the right music to help me concentrate. I'm a huge fan of Focus at Will, which is a music service that plays music. It's designed to get you focused, maintain your focus and concentration. It works remarkably well. There's some serious science behind that. But, you know, there are stations out there like in Pandora and Spotify where they're called focus music, focus stations. Some people really like to listen to classical. I've talked to some colleagues who really like classic rock. I don't know how you could possibly listen to classic rock and concentrate. But yeah, that's why I'm curious. Linda says, I sometimes listen to music like classical, but sometimes harpist chord drives me crazy. I'm with you. I don't like a lot of changes in, like, you know, melodies going kind of back and forth and sudden changes and the tempo and excitement. I need something steady. Instrumental jazz, says Corey. Love it. Yeah, totally see that. Hey, Nanette, welcome. Madalena, welcome. It's good to see you here. Let's see who else is joining us. Corey says, I have a station set on Spotify for writing. What's it called? Let us know, Corey. Jennifer says, had to run. Yeah, okay, cool. It's called Instrumental Jazz. Okay. Instrumental Jazz on Spotify. I'll have to check that out. Good stuff, guys. All right. So let's go ahead and get started. As always, I like to get these discussions started on a positive note. And I'd love to hear from everybody. If you could go to the chat area, type in a capital W, and let me know about a win that you've had over the last couple of weeks. Now, remember that a win can be anything you feel good about, any kind of progress, big or small. Some examples could be moving along through the program, or maybe you got a good insight while going through one of the sessions. Maybe you finalized something big that you have to make a decision on, like your positioning, for example, or you're making progress with your website. You got a key breakthrough, anything that you feel good about. Just type it in by first putting a capital W in front of it, just so I know that you're referring to when I see it. Corey says, win two great calls with potential clients, and I feel like I've settled into a system for prospecting. Oh, wonderful. That's great. Nanette says, contact said she would definitely forward my info along. Okay, excellent. Good stuff. Hey, I tell you, when I had somebody respond with anything other than no respond or a no, to me, that was exciting because I saw that it was working. I mean, I was getting something back. Madalena says, I think I have several golden nuggets and connectors after doing session 4. It was impressive to see I had way more connections than I thought. Oh, that's wonderful. And I tell you, if you have several golden nuggets, that is fantastic. Because I always say, look, don't feel bad if you don't have any or maybe have one. Most people don't have any. The concentration is usually in connectors. So if you have several golden nuggets, that is fantastic. Jennifer Dyer says, I mentioned to a design client that I'm launching into writing. That was really hard to say, and I offered to write her next newsletter. She's open to the idea and asked for a proposal. Wonderful. Yeah, right, when they're used to seeing you in a certain way and now you're talking about something different. I can see that. Michael says, website done. It looks and makes me look good. Amazing confidence boost for me. Oh, I know the feeling. That's great, Michael. Randy, win for him is getting more LinkedIn profile views after I have sent warm emails requesting connections along with others. That's excellent. Congratulations. Madalena says she's got the same issue, Jennifer, with some of my translation clients being potential writing clients. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes the group we thought would be our best bet in terms of kind of getting us started is not it. I see that a lot, and I experience that as well. And it doesn't – even if you're not pivoting into a different profession, for me, when I made the leap, I thought my previous employer was going to become my biggest client, but it took a year before they gave me work. Not that they didn't want to, but there was a lot of stuff happening there. They had just gotten acquired, and I was really the good news is it forced me to go out and then find other clients, and then when they did come to me, I was in a great place, and I didn't really need them, so which meant that I was able to price my work very profitably. Because I could afford to do that. Okay. Francis says, I have a huge list of companies in my niche, which I can use LinkedIn to find key persons. Excellent. And Susan says, got inbound inquiry from LinkedIn. Oh, awesome. Great to hear. All right, guys, before we get to questions, one more thing. I'm curious where you are right now in the program. Because this is self-paced, everyone's kind of in a different spot right now, and I'm curious, what material are you implementing? Type in a capital I for implementing, and let me know what you're working on right now. Some of you have already let me know that here with the wins, but be interesting to see where everybody is at. Linda, of course, just signed up. Linda's new, and so is Renee. And Laura, yeah, so good stuff. This you're starting with the fun stuff, the positioning stuff. It can be the hardest, the hardest thing to get through, but it's so important, so important. Jennifer is creating. It just says creating my website. I love the light bulbs on the side. So cute. Thank you. Madeline says, just finished session 4 and about to start session 5, prospecting. Excellent. Corey has finished all the sections, but just keeping at the prospecting. Absolutely. And it sounds like with now you have kind of a good rhythm going, Corey. So keep that up. And I know that, you know, you have time constraints and all that, but that's fantastic. The best thing you can do is just keep the consistency and keep that rhythm. Michael's in session 5. Renee is doing the positioning exercise. Good stuff. For those of you going through positioning, let me know if you want to talk through some ideas, if you need to get some feedback on either your value statement or maybe some of the possibilities that you're considering. That's why I'm here. Okay. Okay. Let's get started. Corey says, your outbound question/prompt list was huge during my 2 calls. Thank you. Oh, excellent. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Most people don't know how to handle those conversations. And they work so hard to get a prospect to say, yeah, maybe let's talk. And then they freak out. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't even know what to say in this conversation. What if they ask me something I don't know the answer to? Or what if I sound like I don't know what I'm doing? And tell you, session 6 and 7, that right there that's what you need. So for those of you who are not there yet, don't worry, but just know that I will show you how to lead those conversations with much more confidence. All right, guys. So Where do you need help with today? Type in a queue in the chat area if you'd like to, if you have a question or you'd like to discuss something. Just a quick recap of our ground rules, okay? Nothing crazy here, very straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. That's the first thing. So don't ask me something that's so broad. I wouldn't even know where to start. You know, how do I find clients? Well, that's a big, big question. Give me something specific, something focused that I can answer in 3 to 5 minutes. One question per person, but don't worry. If you have more, I can come back to you. I want to give everyone a shot, and then I can come back if you have something else. And if applicable, and this is not always applicable, if you tell me what one or two options you're considering. So if you have the kind of question where you're trying to figure out a direction, or you're kind of trying to finalize your positioning, let me know what you're considering. So give me some help, and that way I can see how you're thinking about it and can give you better direction. Sometimes that context really, really helps. So again, capital Q, that's important. Please put a Q in front of it. So I can see that it's a question, something you want to discuss. Otherwise, it's just kind of blend in with the comments in the chat area. While I'm waiting, there were a couple of interesting questions or comments in the Facebook group, and I wanted to address them. One of them came from Corey, and I wanted to touch on this because this is something that I didn't realize until much later, once I was really working with clients. And this is the issue of return on investment. You know, do you need to prove return on investments to your prospects or to your clients? How does that work? In other words, do you have to have and try to get metrics and results from your clients as you do work for them so you have something that you can talk about with future prospects and clients in terms of, you know, the value you bring to the table? And the interesting thing is that, well, the straight answer is no, you do not. And that's what I love about doing content work. So writing educational content as opposed to, and marketing content as opposed to direct response copywriting. Direct response copywriting, it's all about the result. It's about how did your copy do, and it's instantly measurable. And that can be fun, but content marketing, it's very, very difficult in the business-to-business environment to really measure results. And the one thing that I finally realized is that your main job is, of course, you want to write well, and you want to turn in clean drafts to your clients and do a great job with your writing. But your main job really is to make your contact look good. What do I mean by that? I mean, think about a marketing director or marketing manager. So that's going to be your main contact in many cases at a client. And it's giving them something that is strong and clean and will make them look good in the eyes of their boss and their team. They are not paid to generate results, tangible results with that. Now, ultimately, that white paper or that article, you know, it's intended to educate, to help generate leads and so forth, but it's hard to attribute those results to specific pieces, marketing pieces. So if you can do an amazing job of, again, great work, on time, every time, being a pleasure to work with, like those, that's 80% of the game, if not more. Think of it that way, and I think it's going to make your job a lot easier. And think about everything that comes from that. Suddenly, you become someone that they depend on, someone they want to give more work to, someone they don't mind referring to a colleague or two. So at the end of the day, you know, that piece, again, generate a specific tangible result, it's very hard to measure that. And that's good and it's bad. It's bad in that, you know, you're not going to have something that talks specifically about tangible results produced by your work. I guess that's the bad part if you want to look at it that way. The good news is that is not what's going to get you hired with other clients. Okay. So again, guys, if you have a question, I know I just said Jennifer put one in, type in a capital Q, or if you want to get my feedback on anything, still put a capital Q. That's my trigger that you have something you'd like to discuss. All right. Jennifer has a question here about samples. She says, I'm putting writing samples on my website. Should I just put whatever I have? A couple of things are applicable, such as marketing plan, magazine article, but I also have art critiques and an art history paper. Not sure if I should include them. I considered having them to demonstrate writing skill and style in the paper because it's an example of design and writing, but are they too out there in left field? All right, Jennifer, so hold on. Let me bring you in so we can have a conversation. Here we go.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Man, we haven't talked in so long.
Indeed.
Jennifer was in my Academy fireside chat.
Yeah, we've been for three sessions this week.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so here's my stance on samples. I think in generally speaking, less is more. Mm-hmm. And when you're starting out, don't feel like you have to throw more up there. Really, I kind of shoot for three samples.
Okay.
And if you have some variety, that's nice, but that's not the only criteria. I also factor in, okay, what looks good, what's more relevant. But three samples is fine. If you, by the way, those of you who are listening going, well, I don't have any samples, don't worry. That's fine. But if you have some, I think three samples are fine. I wouldn't worry too much about it being way out there unless mm-hmm. you're now beyond that threshold and, you know, either, then in that case, just don't post them. Okay. So how many do you have that are not way out in left field?
I think I have the two. I'm just going to pull up the page real quick and see. It's funny because okay. this has like been all that I've been doing and I can't even tell you what's up there.
Okay.
Let me just take a quick look. So I know I have the marketing plan. All right, let's see. There's one that that's actually a separate question that I didn't think about. I have a website that I did, but I also I wrote it. I used bits of the old website, and I used material that from a monograph that another person wrote. And I don't know, can I even count that as my own work? You know, it's a whole mishmash of stuff that I used to build a website.
But you ended up compiling it all together in terms of the copy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, because that's you. I mean, there's to some degree, it's not all going to be your copy anyway, especially on something like a website.
Yeah. Okay, you know, that's one.
Yeah. And by the way, with a website, just a quick hint, I would not say, okay, here it is, and here's a link to it. The best thing to do is to turn it into like a PDF. So in other words, take some screenshots, maybe do some excerpts and put together like a 2 or 3 page document. Nothing crazy. The good thing is you're a designer, so you could probably do this very easily. That just showcases what the site was all about, as opposed to sending someone to a website. And here's why. That website could, well, the business could go out of business. They could change it. They could revamp it. The website could break.
Yeah.
So it's not a very reliable way over the long run to showcase your work.
Okay. All right. Cool. So that's one. And then I have this magazine article and the marketing plan. So that's three.
Yeah. Perfect.
And
start with
so
that.
I have a lot more design stuff. So does that matter? You know, it'll be like three little squares for the writing stuff and then a whole bunch of squares for design.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think it's fine. And, I mean, the one thing I might consider is would it make sense to maybe even pare down the design samples a little bit? Maybe not down to three, but, you know, it would look a little awkward to have three writing samples and then 67 design samples, you know?
Yeah, I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like 12 design samples.
Okay, that's not too bad a ratio. Okay. And and you know, one way you could do this too is so guys, if you especially if you just have a few or only a couple, we'll talk. We can talk if anyone wants to talk about what to do if you don't have a sample. But preface the samples by saying, you know, here are just a few samples of my work to give you a better idea of my writing style and ability, something to that effect. And what you're essentially telling them is, look, this isn't everything. I just want to give you a taste. And I will tell you this, the right kinds of clients are the ones who, hey, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. If they need to see sample after sample after sample or something really detailed, well, okay, yeah, I saw that, but do you have something, you know, in this particular sector of, you know, the insurance industry? And I mean, like, the people can get ridiculous with their requests. That to me is a big red flag. Mm-hmm. Because it tells me that, you know, they're being really, really picky. And think about it this way. It's isn't it easier to work with someone who says, oh, okay, that's good enough. Yeah, let's get going, as opposed to someone who's going to be picky now. If they're picky now, they're going to be picky when you're working with them.
Yeah. True. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. So start with that. I'm going to put in the chat area, I'm going to put a link to an article I wrote a while back that showcases the samples that I started out with. And I want everyone to see what I went to market with. These are not good samples. They're not great looking. It's not amazing writing, and they're all over the place. And when you think about the fact that I was going after software companies, and these samples are not from the software industry at all, I just felt, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. And my attitude was, someone won't care, and that someone will give me a shot, and then I'll just start there.
Cool. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, guys, it's you got to adopt this mindset of, you know, you don't have to have things perfect right out of the gate. This is, think of it as a short-term problem. It's a short-term problem because whether you have zero samples or just one or two, that's not the way it's always going to be. That's what you're getting started with. You're looking for someone who is in a situation where that doesn't really matter too much. And they're looking at other factors, or maybe they overlooked it, and then they hire you. Once they hire you, guess what? Now you have another sample. So pretty quickly, this becomes a non-issue. But I remember in my mind when I was starting out, I thought it was like the biggest deal ever. And looking back, I now realize, man, in the grand scheme of things, that was such a short-term problem that you know, I had to resolve and eventually resolved itself. But I thought it was going to be, it just seemed immense to me at the time. Okay. Madalena has a question here. If we don't have any relevant writing samples to show for a specialty area, would you suggest we write a few blog posts to have something to show, even if we're starting out with a few pro bono projects? Not as a stalling tactic, but as a legitimate question. Yeah, great question. Let me bring you in, Madalena. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Ed?
Good. Doing well. It's up to you. Here's what I would suggest. I would try to do something pro bono first if you have zero or you have nothing in this area.
Right.
For a couple of reasons. First, you're going to end up with something. Number two is there's nothing like working with a client. Like the value you get from doing, I mean, if you're going to take the time to write something, might as well do something real, because what you'll learn by working with a client, even though they're not paying you anything, has tremendous value. So I would rather you do that. Now, as a last resort, yes, I think it's fine if you wanted to create a couple of fictitious blog posts. I think that's fine.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at my solid prospects from session four, and a few of them would be great as far as a fit, but one of them in particular I'm thinking of said, you know, you need to send four samples. I thought, wow, that's like not possible right now. So maybe I'll put them on the, you know, back burner for later. But you know, they don't specify where your sample should be coming from. So that's what I was thinking. Should it be something that I've done for a client necessarily, or does it have to be? And then there's others who don't, you know, they're solid prospects, and it's not that they're looking for writers necessarily, but they could be, and they would also be a fit. But that was the thing I thought, is if they come back with, well, can you send a resume and some clips? Mm-hmm. Well, I have the resume. I don't have the clips. And so that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if you can find a couple of people that you could write them for, then that would be my preferred method. And second would be, if you had to create something, I think it's fine. If you create something, I like your idea of keeping it simple, like a couple of blog posts. You know, don't go out there and try to create, you know, a 10-page white paper.
Okay.
For example, but it happened. So I have a coaching client who decided, like, she understood this and she agreed, but the prospect she was going after, and this is unusual, so I don't want to scare anybody here, the question kept coming up repeatedly. Can you send me some samples of blog posts?
Right.
And it's, I think it had a lot to do with the very technical nature of the industry. They were reluctant prospects who wanted to make sure she had the technical chops to be able to pick up on, you know, the material and write about it easily. And after about four or five of these requests, these are good prospects. They were qualified, but that's where she was getting stuck. She went ahead and spent a couple of days writing, I think, two or three sample blog posts. Based on things she knew. I forget how she did it, but and that got her moving. And I think in that situation, it made perfect sense to do.
Right. Yeah. For example, my background in translation, and this is sort of what I was talking about related to Jennifer's question, is that I work with health and life sciences. So I do a lot of pharmaceutical trials, things with, you know, cancer drugs and things like that. So there's actually a lot of publications that are related to cancer written for the layperson. The problem is that I haven't actually done the writing of articles like that. I usually do the translation of them. So that's where I'm at. That's where my question's sort of coming from, because some of it is a bit more technical, but it's sort of technical written for lay people.
Yeah, okay. You'll have to see, you know, where you're getting, if you start getting resistance. Mm-hmm. What I would hate for you to do is spend a lot of time writing several pieces.
Right.
And then, you know, not really needing them, because again, it's a short-term temporary problem.
Right. So the pro bono ones could turn into the clips that I would need for potentially others. Okay.
Exactly. And if, you know, then if not, if you have to write something, I would look at that area you just described as maybe a source for inspiration for writing something, fictitious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So the person who, you know, the prospect who's going to give you a shot is somebody who gets the fact that, okay, you've been immersed in this information. Sure, most of it has been translating, but I can see how you've learned a lot through that process, and you'd have no problem doing this. Mm-hmm. That's who you want.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Great stuff, guys. Again, if you have a question, want to discuss anything, capital Q in the chat area, and then let me know so I can see it easily. Capital Q will help me make sure I don't miss it. All right. Terry has a question here. I'm looking at two target markets with two different projects, with different projects. One is to eventually write white papers and case studies, among other things, for companies that supply home builders. The other is to write e-newsletters for architects. I have experience in housing development. Should I only do one of these, or would I be able to do both at the same time? If so, should I have two different websites? Yeah, let me bring you in, Terry. Where are you? Here you go. Did that work? I don't think that worked. Let me try that again. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Ed?
Good. So, He'd love to do white papers and case studies for companies supplying home builders. And but then you're also thinking about architects and specifically newsletters for them, right?
Correct, correct.
Okay. I think you can get away with doing both. So, you know, at this stage, Terry, this question is, I think at the end of the day, we're really talking about how specific and narrow do you need to be at this point? And the answer for everybody is going to be somewhere in the middle, which is counterintuitive because we've all been taught be narrow, you know, be as specific as possible, specificity sells. The problem with specificity is you're being asked when you follow that logic, you're being asked to make that decision based on theory. You don't really know because you haven't gotten out there to the market. And if it ends up being too specific and too narrow, you know, you could spend 2 months with no results and then now have to go back to the drawing board, broaden your reach, reposition yourself, rewrite your website copy, and then get back out there. And that's kind of a waste of time. So the best thing to do is somewhere in the middle. So in other words, you don't want to say, hey, I write for B2B companies. That's really broad. You want to say something to the effect of, I write for AEC companies, so companies in the architectural engineering construction industry. So notice that it's still broad because there are just tens of thousands of potential prospects, but it's specific enough from kind of the broader generalist market that you can get the attention of those prospects. So my suggestion would be to keep it at that level, Terry. And I would not say all I do is newsletters or white papers. What I would say is I write for this industry, and I have my specialty is white papers, case studies, and newsletters. However, I also do these other things. You see what I'm saying? So don't be too limiting at this point.
Okay. Just taking some notes.
Because what if somebody responds and say, that's great. You know, what we really need help with is we got three brochures we got to write. Can you do that? Or you may not get that opportunity because they'll read that you only do newsletters, white papers, and case studies. You see? So
okay.
You can narrow down by project specialty later. If it makes sense, right now I would keep that relatively open. It's okay to mention your specialties, but also ensure that you're not too limiting, that you explain that you also do these other things or can do these other things.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I would say, Terry, the only exception, maybe I should have asked you this to begin with, is if you have experience already in something like this. So for example, if you're coming from the from this industry, the AEC industry, and you worked for an architectural firm and part of your job was writing newsletters for them. I mean, so you have something like that already or no?
Not really, no. I've done, you know, a good bit of writing, but not specifically newsletters or even white papers or case studies. So it's just been different. For example, I've done some grant applications for housing related kind of stuff.
Okay.
But not specifically one of these things that we were just talking about.
Okay. So then that would be typically the only exception. Because if you had that, let's say, yeah, I get that, but, you know, I have a lot of experience. I've worked in marketing departments at several construction companies, and one of the things that I was really good at is writing and publishing their newsletters. Well, that's different because you have something you can talk about there, and then it might make sense to really specialize in something like that. But otherwise, I would say keep it broad. That way you're open to the possibilities.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Yeah. So it's and that applies to everybody. You know, you want to make sure you're not too specific unless you have a really good reason to get that specific. When I say specific, I'm talking about a specific sector in an industry or target market, something really narrow, or the combination of a target market and a one project type. That also really narrows down your field, because you're saying, look, it's got to be it's got to be this industry or this target market, and it's got to be case studies only. You know, you've really limited your field there. Okay, Michael has a question. He says, please advise mindset and other regarding juggling two businesses. My current business is paying the bills, and so I can't quit yet, versus new writing, freelance writing business launch. Yeah. Hold on, Michael, let me bring you in. Hey, Michael, how's it going?
It's going well, Ed. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. All right, so tell me again, what's your current business right now?
I am an insurance broker agent, so with my own business with about 25 clients, small group clients, and have been doing that for the 20 odd years. And what we're pivoting to is in the freelance writing business is to do the sales and marketing materials, and basically my niche is going to go after the insurance professionals, agents, agency owners, and rewrite their marketing and sales messages. But obviously the current business is up and running, and I just can't walk away from that. And it's just juggling the two, because obviously the default is always to fall back to the easier route, right now is to stick to what I know versus trying to get the writing business really up and running as quickly as I possibly can.
Sure, sure. And I'm assuming that part of the challenge is that where your heart really is, is in getting this writing business up and
absolutely
running, right?
Absolutely. We've been, to use your classic word, marinating on it for over a year. from our conversation, literally over a year ago. We've taken some action and going in the right direction, and it's going to happen, but it's still that juggling game.
A couple of ideas. It's a big topic. Lots of things we could talk about. I went through that myself, and it was painful. So I understand where you're coming from. My heart was not in my job yet. I couldn't afford to, forget it, but quitting wasn't even an option. Really, performance, right? When your heart's not in it and you get paid on performance and evaluated on performance as a sales professional, that's really difficult, because you have no choice. Your heart's going to have to be in it somehow, or you got to do your best. A couple of things. The first is I find that it's setting some kind of milestone really helps setting a realistic milestone. So a milestone for when you'd like to make the transition, because then that gives you something, to shoot for. That gives you, at least for me, it eased that anxiety. So for instance, by July 1st of 2019, I will have transitioned completely over, or 90% of the way there. And in that way, I knew, great. So now I know it's not going to be, in 2 months. So forget about the anxiety. Now I have an end point. Okay. So starting with that, then the second thing would be more tangible and practical, and that is figuring out what you need from a cash flow standpoint from your business, from your new writing business, every month, in order to feel that you can make the leap. So you need to figure that out internally. Okay, how will I know when my part-time writing income is probably at a level where I can afford to make the leap? And usually it's half of what you would need. And here's what I mean. When you're working your business part-time, you're constrained by time, right?
Yep.
So if I need, let's just say I need $5,000 a month, if it were full time, in order to be able to live off of it. Well, if I can only work it part time, I'm not going to be able to get to $5,000 more than likely. Okay, but if I start seeing three consecutive months of $2,500, then that makes me feel like, you know what, I could probably double that if I had a full time schedule to do it. And that's what I call your trigger income goal. So set a trigger income goal, which would be the number that if you were to amplify it to a full-time level, would give you the financial runway to be able to make that leap. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Which kind of ties into the next question, which is, or related question, which is, you know, what are those, the dollar amount projects? Is that coming in in the launch as far as fees we should be charging and which projects to go after versus others?
The fees, yes. I'm not going to tell you which ones to go after because it all depends on what you want to do. And frankly, at this stage, I would be much more open to working on whatever your prospects need help with.
Right.
Okay. So you need to be very, very open. I thought I wanted to, I set myself up for writing lead generation emails, letters, and campaigns for clients. And that's not what they were responding to. They said, that's great, Ed, but what we really need help with is this brochure or this case study or this, help with their web copy. Odd things like, we need all our executives need new bios. Can you do that? And you know what? I said yes to everything. So you need to adopt a say yes to everything mindset, because right now you don't know where it, right? So say yes to everything. So yeah, I will in session seven, I'm going to go over pricing and how to do that, but I'm not going to tell you, okay, you need to go after these three projects. That's up to you. And I would actually leave that open.
Okay.
So let's go back to why the trigger income goal and then this milestone for making the transition, why would that potentially help ease your anxiety? And I think it's because it gives you something to focus on. The first one is really kind of a longer term thing. And the second one is a shorter term thing that feels more tangible. Because if you're working toward a smaller number, then that feels more realistic.
No question about it. I mean, that milestone, I mean, you threw out July the 1st of 2019, and right now the only milestone I had written down was the end of this month, the end of December. You know, I mean, I'm just so short-sighted, and I think that was part of the frustration that I was sort of feeling was, you know, it just doesn't sound right or feel right. And then the monthly income needed, I love that idea, again, it's just you've made it smaller for me, or chunked it down, I guess.
That's exactly it. You've chunked it down, and in fact, let's just use that the 2,500 is the example we were using. I would even chunk it down even further. I would say, okay, 2,500 is, I need to see three consecutive months of that number or higher to know that I'm in a good spot. However, in the meantime, my goal is landing my first paying client. So that should be everyone's first goal, by the way. But maybe for you, the second goal is getting to $1,000 or pounds a month, hitting that number once. Maybe that's the second one. Then a third one, and then you're working one step at a time. And so, you know, you're staying distracted, rather than looking at the entire mountain, you're just focused on the next three steps ahead of you. And that's how you scale a mountain. That's how you get to the top. Because the moment you look all the way up and realize that you got, you know, at least 5 days of climbing, of hiking, you're going to get very discouraged.
Yep,
so no question. It's okay to set the summit as the ultimate goal, but then let's keep it really short term. And then the last thing I would say, Michael, and this is kind of a byproduct of everything else, is just immerse yourself in your work, meaning like your current business right now, and of course doing the everyday, every week things you have to do in your new business. And try not to dwell on the distance, on that delta. Just try to get busy with the everyday stuff, somehow busy. And I think for me too, with small kids and just all the stuff that I had going on, thank goodness for that, because it made time go by a little faster.
Good stuff, Ed, as always. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my friend. Yeah, so and that's a great question, because that applies to quite a few people here who are, you know, are trying to transition. You know, I know Corey and some others are, you know, how do I do this? And it's something you need to be very mindful of. I know there's a lot out there about, oh, you know, it seems like everyone's an overnight success. I tell people, look, I'm a 10-year overnight success. And for my writing business, it was really more of a 3.5-year overnight success. 3.5 years of just doing a lot, and setbacks and disappointments, and it takes time, guys. Overnight stuff makes great marketing, but it's most of the time it's just not reality. Okay, Linda had a great question here. Do we have to have a blog on our website? You do not. You do not. And in fact, I would not worry about that right now, Linda. I mean, if you have one, listen, that's fine. But that really comes into play a little bit later, when you're adding a few more marketing elements to the mix. But yeah, right now, I would not worry about it. Just stay focused on the specific roadmap I'm walking you through and implementing, because the blog can quickly become a distraction. Hey, Linda, and I just unmuted you. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. The reason I would even consider having a blog is a way to address, unlike many people, I think I have three niches that are pretty closely related, and I won't know which ones I really want to focus on until I start going out and interacting with some clients. Mm-hmm. One of them, I've got probably closer to 20 years in IT. So one of them is SaaS. One of them is technical training, because there's 800,000 jobs, I think, going begging because we don't have trained workers for them. And then one is professional development, like leadership. And that sort of thing. And they're all really sort of related. But I'm not quite certain whose pockets are the deepest. And I've seen some websites that are written, they're totally unintelligible. I don't want to take on the burden of, you know, reforming marketing people who don't understand some of these things. But so my thinking was to have a blog that I could post a snippet on LinkedIn or Facebook and then drive it back to my website. One would be on educating a new collar worker, which is this technical person. One would be surprise, I didn't see a lot of articles about the pros and cons of SaaS, instead of so you could talk about developing it yourself and security issues and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Doing that would maybe raise my visibility to some of these markets and be a foundation for sending them more emails.
Absolutely, and it will, but you don't need it for the warm emails. So you don't need it for your initial prospecting effort.
Okay.
Or even phase two of that. So your reasoning is sound. Mm-hmm. But I would wait, because from experience, I can tell you that it can quickly become a distraction, and it will add value, but it becomes more distraction than a way to get ahead right now. So okay. Definitely in the near future is something you could do, and it's something that I encourage. But yeah, I would stay focused on this right now.
Okay, I am doing the lead magnet, though, just because I've had some people tell me I absolutely positively have to have it. And that will also, I guess, get some leads if someone wants to download it.
Yeah, and if you have one, I think that's fine. Just there again, just be careful, Linda, not to spend a lot of time on it. That's another thing that I see a lot of people spend months on.
Uh-huh.
So just be careful. You know, with lead magnets, the simpler the better.
Uh-huh.
What you want is that the real value of it is to help someone identify themselves, to turn from invisible prospect to visible prospect.
Right.
And you don't need a lot of content there. It doesn't have to be an ebook. It doesn't have to be a long report. Honestly, a checklist, cheat sheet, you know, a list of ideas, that is good enough. And you know, don't spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, I spent most of the time thinking about it. Then I don't think the writing itself will be so bad. So, all
okay.
Right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Yeah, and guys, don't worry, you know, if you hear some things here, lead magnet blog, it's like, well, wait a minute, we're going to be doing that. No, don't worry about that right now. These are things that if you have already, that's fine if you want to use them. They're not part of this roadmap, so don't feel like I'm going to throw something like that at you. It's those are things that definitely help. This program is very much 80-20 centric. I want you to focus on the 20% of things that are going to make the 80% of the difference in results, going to give you 80% of the results the fastest. So that's what we're going to be working on. Because frankly, at the end of the day, there's so many things you could do that it could be overwhelming fast. Yeah, good. So some comments about this whole idea of transitioning and how it applies, and I'm glad that was helpful to Corey, Madalena. Corey said, it helps me to set the freedom number, then work backwards for each month leading up to my goal. If I want to replace income by June 1, 2019, what do I need to make next month? Then a bigger number for November, then a bigger one for December, until I build up the magic number for next May or 3 months. This helps keep it real each month and take baby steps. Absolutely. I would add one more thing, Corey, and for those of you guys who are going to kind of think of it that way, be careful not to, there's this urge to try to reverse engineer something like this in a very logical way. Okay, well, that means, you know, this month it's 500 and next month is 800, then the month after that, 1200. Generally, in a lot of scenarios, that makes perfect sense. There are so many variables at play here that it's very difficult to predict what the number should be for December, especially right now, because we're too far away from it. So just be very careful, because here's the danger. The danger is that you estimated 500, then 800, then 1200, and ended up being more like 300, 600, back to 200. It's going to be all over the place. And here's the question. Had you not set that monthly goal and mapped it out from here to next May, would you be happy with the scenario that I just explained? 200, 600, then back to 200, then maybe 400. You probably would, because you had no expectation, but now you're seeing some kind of results. But the moment you actually created a forecast, then now you set an expectation for yourself. And the moment that it starts deviating from that expectation and that forecast, it could really do some damage to your mindset. So just be careful. That's why I like to take more of an ad hoc approach and just say, that's the end goal. I'm not going to try to reverse engineer every step, and certainly not the numbers. But I do need to see 3 consecutive months of this number to help me figure it out. And then I'm just going to focus on a very short-term goal. And the one thing I didn't talk about is focus on effort instead of results. So in other words, what I ask myself every Monday morning is, what can I do this week from an effort standpoint to get closer to this next milestone that I have set up? And focus on effort, because the one thing you can control is your effort. You can't control who's going to respond, what that response is going to lead to in terms of work, how big the project's going to be, what income's going to come in. you can't control those factors. And trying to pretend that you can, and I'm speaking from experience, I'm not trying to, you know, point this at anybody. It can lead to discouragement very, very quickly. So I've learned the hard way to focus on effort and not on results. I think it's important to have those outcome-based goals out there, but really the obsession should be on weekly and daily focus. So I set some, again, Monday morning, what can I do this today to get closer to it from an effort standpoint? And I ask myself that every morning. And that's all you can control. And of course, at the end of the week, evaluate, okay, what did that effort do? Do I feel like I made progress? Do I need to make adjustments? I think that's fine. But focus on the effort is really the lesson here. All right, Linda says, Linda says, please don't let me throw you off track. I've been marinating business ideas and trying to sort through too much conflicting advice and personal obligations. No, totally, Linda. No worries at all. I just wanted to make sure in case somebody was listening, thinking, wait a minute, when is this stuff on lead magnets going to come in? I didn't know we had to do that. I just wanted to, you know, clarify that. As I've told you guys here, if you're coming into this with some existing assets or things that are almost done, if it makes sense to use them, absolutely. I just don't want you to go off menu, meaning like, you know, create something completely from scratch or like a blog or a lead magnet or those other things. So I just wanted to clarify that for everybody. But no worries at all, Linda. Corey says, great point. I think it just helps to keep me feeling overwhelmed by that big number that I need much later. Definitely need to keep perspective and not get so caught up hitting every monetary milestone. Yeah, good stuff. Stuff, guys. Hey, so quick question. Would love to know what's been most valuable so far. Just kind of go around the virtual room. If you type a capital V for valuable, from the discussions we've had so far, maybe something you and I talked about or something that you heard in a conversation with somebody else today, what's been most valuable so far? Just type it into the chat box. Give me a capital V in there so I know that's what you're referring to. Susan said, most valuable so far, the discussion on samples. Good stuff. Yeah. It's a big question a lot of people have. Absolutely. I stressed out over that like you wouldn't believe. So I totally get it. Terry says, I think you helped me define my target market. Oh, excellent. Yes, a discussion about samples and not getting stressed about that. Good. Cynthia said goal setting. Yeah, this effort goals, not so much outcome goals. The reminders, Jennifer said, reminders stay on track. The overall positive energy, I really appreciate the boost. Samples, too. That simplifies things for me. Excellent. Laura says, hearing about others' journeys is very helpful. Oh, man, isn't it? Business can be so lonely. Like, you just feel you're completely out there on your own. I mean, guys, when I was getting started, I didn't have, you know, something like this. There was no programs, business building programs, you know, where you were there with people who do trying to do exactly what you're trying to do. And, you know, being that this is such a weird business where most people don't even know it exists and most people don't understand you can actually get paid to write, I really couldn't talk to this with my friends and relatives. They had no idea what to say or how to advise me. Let's see, Randy saying yes to everything to learn from initial client relationships and even pro bono. Yes. Linda says, one of the reasons I signed up was a need to break marketing into smaller chunks. Absolutely. Jim says, reminder to focus on effort, not results. Yeah. Michael says, focus on effort. It's all I can control. Madalena says, having flashbacks to building my translation business and remembering these things take time and everyone starts somewhere. Absolutely. And you know what I would add to that, Madalena, and you guys is, this is not going to be glamorous at first, okay? Let me just tell you right off the bat, your first few clients, in most cases, not very glamorous. In fact, you're going to look back and say, you know, I'm here. Like, I see my business checking account has got money in it. You know, I'm generating an income and I got clients. but it doesn't feel like I thought it would feel. I was excited at first, but now I'm looking at my clients and they're not that impressive. And some of these are kind of a pain and they don't respond to my emails. And you know what? That's perfectly normal. So I want you guys to remember that it's ugly at first. It's really ugly. It's not glamorous. These are not going to be clients that anybody knows exist. The work is not going to be glamorous. The pay is not going to be great. But that's a start, and you should feel really good about it. And you should know that I don't know anyone in this business who's really successful today who started out with glamorous clients who were great, paid great, were responsive. The work was rewarding. They may have had one or two like that, you know, maybe two lucky opportunities, but most cases it was, it's the kind of stuff that you laugh about later. Okay. Francis says, most valuable so far, don't worry about meeting all requirements because some people don't care. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So, again, questions, need feedback, want to discuss anything, type in capital Q in the chat area and let me know what you've got. I'm just going to scroll while you guys are thinking through that. I'm going to scroll back and make sure I didn't miss anybody from earlier. Sometimes I do that. Yeah, I did miss one earlier from Susan. Susan had asked, I have a sample that I wrote well before I even understood what writing copy was and is nowhere close to my target market. So my question is, should I do a rewrite on this and show before and after or leave it alone and just PDF it and get it up? Yeah, Susan, let me bring you in. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Doing good, how are you?
Good, good. So, you know, I guess it depends. So tell me about, do you have some other things or are you asking because you're kind of short on things to post and this might be one of them?
Well, the three magic number works fantastic for me because I have a bio and resume I wrote for a fellow recently, executive level. I have an article that won. It was just, you know, hey, what about this? And so put it in and it won. And then I have this brochure that's from 2010 from a small business that I had. I look at it now and it's like, oh, that's an ugly baby. So I'm trying to think, you know, I was like, oh, I could put it in and, you know, redesign it and make it look very spiffy. But, you know, so I'm just not sure what to do with it.
I like the idea. If you think you can just clean it up and make it better relatively quickly. If you already have some ideas, it sounds like you already do.
Right.
I think it's a good investment. That's time well spent.
Okay.
Just, you know, don't go too crazy there. It can get out of hand.
Right.
But I think it's worth it because it's the kind of thing, and I wouldn't worry about doing it before and after.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just put the new one. And in fact, if you can get a designer to, if you wanted to do that, just to spiffy it up, or if you could do that, you know, so it's not just like a Word document.
Right. I have a really nice template that I can throw it in and change colors and, you know, really make it look a lot better. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Then I think that's time well spent.
And is it really an issue if like the article that I wrote isn't within the target market and this also isn't in the target market, but they're just samples?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I would not worry. Put it up there and listen, there's different schools of thought on this. As long as you understand why I'm saying don't worry about it and you agree, yeah, then I would go for it. And the reasoning is, look, you're looking for a prospect who's willing to hire you based on what they see today.
Okay.
There's no reason to try to hide things. And, you know, if someone's going to give you a shot. There's a, some people might say, yeah, but what if I don't put it out there, then they might give me a shot without it. And had they seen it, maybe they would have second thoughts. I mean, like, you can second guess yourself all day long, but yeah.
Okay. That was my biggest question. It's like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. I want to show you guys, and I know I put a link in here, but let me see if I can. I want to show you these samples that I had. And I have them in the article, but they're really just some screenshots, and some of them are hard to write. I'm looking for... because I can share these in Zoom with you. That's why I'm... Documents, samples. Just bear with me. If I can't find it, then... Yeah, here we go. I don't know if this is the final one. All right, so let me share this. New share. Okay. I just put up, I went back in 2003, Yahoo, this is before Facebook, before LinkedIn, that the thing was online forums, and Yahoo had a bunch of them. They're very, very popular. I found one that for small business owners, these are typically solo professionals, and I just posted an offer. Hey, I just didn't really, I decided not to reach out to my network. Mainly because I wanted to do something very, very quickly. I was in a big hurry. So I decided to just post it out there online in a targeted group. The people whom I thought would, they had businesses, but I knew they just didn't have budgets to hire a writer. And I had a bunch of responses in a 24-hour period. I picked the top two or three, and I helped them. And I think they all needed some kind of lead generation letter. And this was some solo business owner who had this map advertising company back in the day before GPS, where at hotels in the lobby, you could pick up a map of the town. And that was subsidized by this advertising on the sides of the map. And this guy needed help. He wanted to get some more advertisers. Some guy in Canada, and I just wrote him, you know, this piece, and he was so happy, and it worked. I mean, he sent me eventually an email with his results, but you know, I'm going after software companies, and this is so not in that market. So that was one of them. Let me see what the other one was. It was a Hope Chest. This lady who was, she had written, and this is, let me see if I can pull this up. New share. Okay. So this is in the article that I sent you guys to, and you could kind of see it here. It's just horrible. This lady, very nice lady, she had written a book about Hope Chess. And I had no idea what a hope chess is, but apparently it's a chess, and parents will put quilts and other things in there for their daughters, and I forget the specifics. And she had written this book, and she was trying to get into quilting store. I felt right picture, and what you see here is exactly what I gave her. I mean, about hope chess and quilting, and I had this up on my website. Worse yet, I walked into the office of vice president of marketing of a software company. It was referred by a friend of mine with printed samples in a folder that included this letter from the Ontario Mapping Company, This spec assignment that I did for an AWAI boot camp for Nightingale Conant, that's just what I had, you know? And I thought the guy was going to throw me out of his office or just laugh or chuckle. And he looked at it and said, okay, well, all right, so here's the first thing I need. I need a brochure for this, that, and the other. I was blown away. He just didn't really care. He just didn't know enough. He had an urgent need, and I had come referred, and I was good enough, and he was just trying to get some things done. So just an example of why you shouldn't worry too much. Will some people not be impressed and maybe walk away? Yes. You're not trying to solve every problem. You're just trying to work with what you got. Okay, so let's go back to questions here. Jennifer asked, what happens once we have our first paying client? Do we stay in the program for a while? Okay, the way it works is I'll give you a few extra weeks for you to join some more calls. But after that, this program becomes mostly irrelevant to you because really it's an opportunity for others who are trying to get to that milestone to get help. So what we'll do is we'll let you know, hey, you got a few more weeks, you can stay on board. But as long as you've gotten, it's a 9-week program, right? So if it's past the 9 weeks and you've landed the first client, then we'll give you some other options. But if you've landed it before the 9 weeks, then, you know, you're still going to be here for at least 9 weeks. Don't worry. We're not going to kick you out or anything like that. And of course, if it's been longer than 9 weeks and you haven't landed your first client, just know that I will work with you. You can keep coming into these calls, getting my feedback, coaching and mentoring and advice here and in the forum, of course, and from Susan until you do for up to a year. So, the one thing we want to do, guys, we want everyone here to succeed. So we want everyone to achieve that goal. But don't worry, Jennifer, we'll send you, once that happens, we'll email you some options. And, you know, we're not pressuring anybody into anything. This is not, there's no hard selling or anything like that. We'll just give you some, you could go on your own. We have an option for another program where we help you get to the next level, which is $2,000 a month consistently. There's the Academy, which I know you're a member of, so a few different things. Francis says, I use Google to find email addresses, return some email addresses, search services like findemails.com or anyemail.com. What's your angle and any suggestions? So I would start with Google, Francis. The one that I'm seeing a lot of people stick with, the one service that most of my coaching clients are getting the best results with and enjoying the most is Hunter.io, because it does a really good job of finding the email address for you, and the trial includes up to 100 searches, which is really, really good. That's plenty. And after that is still a very affordable service if you want to use it. But Hunter.io is probably the first one I would recommend before you try some of the other ones, because I think you're going to have better success with that one. But, of course, I still like to use Google just because I like playing detective. But if after 3 minutes I find it, then I go to Hunter.io. All right, Madalena, and no problem. Second question, but I don't see any others. So we'll go through round two if some of you guys have other questions. And of course, if you haven't asked your question yet, don't be shy. We still got time. I know our first few clients won't be glamorous ones, as you said, but in making the list of solid prospects, I wonder if my list is too glamorous or shooting too high. Ah, all right. So here's the thing, Madalena. Let me bring you in, so in case you have a question on that. I'm trying to kind of reset expectations. However, if you do have some like that, go for it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did in session four what you mentioned about doing a search for publications and then seeing what kind of publications first are out there and second, you know, who they're writing about as far as, you know, innovative companies and things like that. And one that kept coming up for me, especially because, like I said, I do a lot with pharmaceutical trials and cancer research and stuff like that in my translations. And it was a publication like Cure Today. And I know other health writers personally who have articles in Cure Today, but I, you know, they've been doing this a while. So it's one of those things I thought, is this really a solid prospect or will this be a solid prospect a year from now? You know, it's hard to know that.
Here's the thing. I think there's two ways to go about it. One is, all right, I'm going to cut my teeth with some prospects or some clients who aren't kind of top tier. Mm-hmm. Let me just get my feet wet, get my confidence up, and then I'll go after the top tier. That's one right. school of thought. The other is, and I, these days I kind of subscribe to this one. Mm-hmm. It's okay to do that maybe for very short term, but then go straight to whoever you think is, would be a good client. Don't worry about, am I ready? And okay. here's why.
Right.
That's
I mean, I'm the kind of
shot.
Person who would just go ahead and give it a shot, but I thought maybe that's too forward of me to think that way. I don't know. So
No, it's not. It's not. Here's why, because that's not your only shot. So the thinking, and you, I can tell you don't think this way, but most people think if I go after IBM and I don't get a response or they say no, that's it. I got to cross them off my list. That's not true at all. No. Just because they say no, they don't respond, doesn't mean you can't go after them in 2 months or mm-hmm. later this year or in the spring.
Right.
So, might as well. In other words, there's no downside, mm-hmm. but all the upside in the world. So I would go for it. I would absolutely go for it. And you're in a different situation than many people. Like, a lot of people in the group are really starting from scratch. They have writing experience. They've done it at work. They've been doing a lot of writing in the past, but they mm-hmm. – they haven't been working with clients. You have, in a totally different capacity, of course, now you're establishing a writing business, but I think yeah. what you have gives you a different level of confidence that I think is going to serve you really well.
Yeah, and we've got some big translation clients and some big names, and so, you know, even that was kind of another question with my website. I thought, well, how can I show that I've worked with, you know, for example, the FDA? Or something like that. But I don't know that I can because I didn't do writing for them. So some of it's a little bit like, do I want to go this way or should I wait? You know, it's kind of like, do I need to pull the reins in a bit or not?
You know, I like to err on the side. I don't want to be deceptive, but
right.
I also like, if you've worked with the FDA, if you've worked for clients like that, I like mm-hmm. to put that on my website. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say I've written for... I would say I've no. worked with, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's what I did with my employers. Mm-hmm. So because I had written a lot for my employers and I just said I've worked with XYZ, ABC, and some of those were my previous employers.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Okay.
So as long as you've done work for them, they have been clients, I think you can legitimately say that. Now, if somebody asks you, oh, wait a minute, well, what did you do for them? Then, of course, be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And I see this a lot, too, with writers who end up working with agencies and through those agencies work for some big-name clients.
Yeah.
I would absolutely use them if you have permission, right? Mm-hmm. UPS, Dow Chemical. Wow, that's really impressive. Well, it was because you worked with an agency. But
yeah, it's the same in the translation industry. Exactly the same thing. Right. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Francis, by the way... I wasn't able to unmute you. I want to make sure that you're set. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Good. Have you tried Hunter.io?
No, I haven't. I mean, that's why I asked you. I mean, I just ran across those other services when I did a search for the email address on Google after getting the name of the person.
Cool. Yeah, I would give it a try because, and it, by the way, I think they've got an extension that integrates with Gmail too, which makes this even easier. So just yet another reason to give them a try.
Oh, yes. That's why I asked. So, and if it succeeded for some of the group members, then I'm definitely going to try it.
Perfect. Good stuff. All right, guys, it's an open floor right now. So if you have something you've been waiting to ask, now is your chance. All right, I don't see any other questions. Let's do this. Let's kind of recap here. Go ahead and type a capital T in the chat area. Let me know what's a top, it could be your top takeaway. It could be just one takeaway from today's call. Something that was valuable, useful, got you thinking maybe in a different way that's really going to help you start getting momentum, anything along those lines. Let me know in the chat area, type a capital T. And while you're at it, also let me know with a capital A, your top action item after our conversation today. I want to make sure you leave with something tangible, something that you can start acting on, something that's doable. It's not a big project. It's one action item, one step, one task that you can take, let's say, over the next week to get things moving forward. Okay, so A for action item, T for takeaway from today's conversation. Francis says, Hunter.io. Oh, good. Susan says, effort is the only portion I can control. Yes. Cynthia, top takeaway, consistency is going to be more important than the results I cannot control. Yeah, that seemed to really resonate. I'm glad that that did. Madalena, takeaway, focus on effort and the results will come. Susan says, action item, rewrite brochure and get it up there. Yeah. Randy, Hunter and controlling effort. That's right. Yeah, that this effort bit was, you know where, I think when people listen to that, I know when it finally hit me, it's after years of just doing goal setting the traditional way, right? It's just focused on outcomes. And especially when it came to personal fitness, I realized, you know, I have no idea how much weight I'll lose next month. I really don't. Especially because even if you have some history, well, even if you know that the first 3 months you've lost X number of pounds, we all know that that distribution changes very quickly. So it's hard to predict next month is going to be actually less and then less. And it starts tapering off. Unless you alter what you're doing in a dramatic way, many of us don't do that. So then I started realizing, you know what, I have no idea what I'll lose next month. But, you know, what I can control is, you know, I'm not going to have sugar this week. I'm not going to have wine during the week, only on weekends. I'm going to the gym 5 days this week. So these are all effort things. And I realized when I started focusing on that, then the results came. Jennifer says, keep keeping on. Yes. Madalena, top action item, move on to session 5, prospecting. Linda is the takeaway is finish lead magnet and get it up there. Jennifer says, finish my website for action item. Cynthia, finish session 2. Same thing with Laura, finish session 2. There you go. Very tangible. Something you can do in the next week for sure. Linda, top takeaway, keep moving forward. Jim, action item, warm emails to solid prospects. And Kiro, hey, good to see you here. Start weekly blogging. All right. And Kiro, I just found out, has landed 2 clients. Again, and she could tell you they're not glamorous, not the perfect situation, but hey, it's absolutely a start. Michael, top action item, finish session 5. Yes. Good stuff. Renee, action item, finish session 1 and get started on session 2. Yeah, absolutely. Renee, when you are finished session 1, if you want to run your value statement drafts through me and through Susan, let us know. Just put them in the Q&A thread and we'll be happy to give you feedback or, of course, in an upcoming call, but we're not going to have a call for another couple of weeks. So, Corey says, action item, keep at the prospecting and following up. Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Hey, great discussion today. I'm glad this was helpful. You guys keep doing what you're doing. I love the focus of the group. You know, this is all about momentum, guys. All about momentum. And even taking baby steps every week, you know this program is all about baby steps. Even one small step. Don't fall into all or nothing thinking. Don't say, well, if I'm not able to dedicate those 3 hours Friday afternoon to working on my positioning, then, you know, there's no use. You know what? Even one micro step, one micro action is better than nothing, because consistency is really what counts, not big, bold efforts. That usually doesn't work out. Sometimes you can block out the 3 hours and make it happen, but let's face it, life happens. Many times these big, ambitious goals for what you're going to do here don't pan out. So I'd rather see you take baby steps consistently than to say, you know what, I haven't done anything, I'm not going to do anything for 2 weeks, but then tomorrow I'm going to dedicate the whole day. That usually doesn't work out very well. So good stuff. Randy says, action item, be accountable in my daily journal, daily and weekly reviews of emails sent and responses. Stay on target. Susan says, should we have a handful of value statements or just a solid one? Yeah, just one. But, you know, the reason I was telling Renee that, since she's going through session one, many times you'll end up with like two or three different ideas or variations of it, and, you know, which I think is fine. I'm kind of that way. I like, once I hit on something, I like to write different variations of it and just play around with it, see which one resonates with me more. So, yeah. And keep in mind, it doesn't really matter, Susan. It's really an internal statement anyway. So if you have two, three, four, that's good. You don't have to delete them, the ones you're not going to use. I like to keep everything when it comes to that kind of thing and store it, because you never know. You might look at that in a month or two and realize, you know what, I thought I was going to go with this one, but this version I just feel is more elegant. And at least you have it. And if you delete it, then, you know, you won't remember what it was. All right, guys. Great session today. Again, let's continue the conversation in the forum. Susan and I, as you know, are there every business day. So happy to continue to support you there. You guys have a great rest of the day. We'll get this replay posted tomorrow, and we'll send out an email when it's there. You guys take care.